Someone who's never meditated and never been on a meditation retreat might imagine that it's quite easy, that a meditation retreat is a nice, relaxing, enjoyable holiday, because it looks so easy from the outside. You just have to sit and do nothing, and walk and do nothing, and worry about nothing. But actually sometimes it can be real hard and challenging to meditate, to be on a retreat. There might be bodily discomfort, there might be pain in the body. One might be feeling cold and wet, or hot and stuffy. There could be mental discomfort, there could be feeling of sadness or hurt or restlessness, sleepiness, anxiety, loneliness. So many uncomfortable states of mind and body. And the Buddha has a word to describe these sorts of suffering states. The word is dukkha. It's a Pali word, and the Pali is the language that the teachings in this tradition were originally written in. Dukkha can be translated as suffering or distress or stress or unsatisfactoriness. There's no one really good translation, so often we will just use the word dukkha. And there we will be talking much more about it in the course of this retreat. When you're experiencing dukkha, suffering, distress, unsatisfactoriness, what might be really helpful in that moment is self-compassion. And I would like to offer you instructions in self-compassion practice this afternoon. And for myself personally, self-compassion has been one of the most important and transformative practices I've done. And I know the same is true for many others, and I hope that this might be of use for you as well. And in fact, compassion is a really central thing in this tradition. Sometimes this tradition is described, or this practice is described as a bird with two wings. One wing is wisdom, which we cultivate with vipassana meditation, and the other wing is the wing of compassion. And there are specific compassion practices we can do. We all have the capacity for compassion, but it can be sometimes hidden, not visible, buried under many layers of many things, but with these practices we can try and access it more often, give it space to arise, strengthen it. If I just briefly mention what is the definition of compassion, is Buddha taught that when open heart meets dukkha, compassion arises kind of automatically, naturally. It's kind of a natural response in that situation. And compassion can be defined as the quivering of the heart in response to dukkha or suffering, and a wish to alleviate that suffering. And so I'm going to talk about self-compassion this afternoon, and I'm going to describe it in terms of three-component model. So you might be aware that kind of mindfulness, secular mindfulness, taking out of the Buddhist context has been kind of really big thing in recent years. And it's starting to be that self-compassion is also becoming a big, big trend. And I personally, in addition to teaching, I work part-time as a psychologist, and in psychology, psychotherapy circles, self-compassion is becoming bigger and bigger, it seems. And there is this American researcher called Kristin Neff. She made her PhD in self-compassion and has been a self-compassion researcher ever since. And she has written a book called Self-Compassion, which has been translated in Finnish by the name of Itsemyötätunto. And she has proposed this model, which I find very helpful, and I find it's very much in line with the Buddha's teaching. Kristin Neff is a Buddhist practitioner herself. And the first component of self-compassion is mindfulness, first of these three components. And if you're feeling something painful, if you're feeling suffering milder or stronger in your body, in your mind, in your heart, the natural tendency of the mind is to try to get rid of it or try to escape it. Try to make sure that one never has to experience anything like that again. But what we would like to suggest here is that we would turn 180 degrees actually towards the suffering, towards the dukkha, towards the discomfort, and let it be there. Allow it to be there. Actually feel it instead of trying to escape it or avoid it or get rid of it. Actually soften and allow and meet the dukkha. And when we move the focus from trying to get rid of it or analyze it or trying to fix it to actually letting it be there and feeling it, self-compassion might arise automatically, even without anything else. And I'm first going to explain you all these components, and after that we are going to do a guided practice together. So the first component was mindfulness, and the second component is common humanity, shared humanity. And when we are encountering dukkha, we are encountering pain or difficult mind states, it's easy to feel that we are alone in that, or that it's our fault, or that it's some sort of a mistake by life. It shouldn't be happening. Should have been avoided. But the second component of common humanity reminds us that dukkha is actually a part of human life. It's part of everybody's life. It's not a mistake and it's not your fault. Maybe it's possible to avoid some instance of suffering, but then another comes along sooner or later. And also to remember that there are 7.7 billion people living on this planet right now. So for instance, if you're feeling restless, you might want to reflect that there's probably millions and millions of other people right now who are also feeling restless and who would really like to experience peace of mind and calm and relaxation, but instead they are feeling restless and they are suffering from that. So kind of forming this like really big peer group for your restlessness. And the third component of self-compassion is self-kindness, kindness to the self. And here what we are trying to do is we are trying to get in touch with a part of ourselves, which is like a wise, compassionate, loving, caring parent. Part of ourselves is suffering, is having a hard time. But another part of ourselves is capable of offering compassion and caring and love. It's kind of a parent and a child situation. So we are trying to practice that, cultivate that. We might use phrases like, may I be able to be kind to myself, may I be able to hold this pain with compassion, may I remember that I'm worth of loving and acceptance. And many people find it really helpful to include touch, particularly with this component. Research has shown that if another person touches you in a compassionate way, a hormone called oxytocin is released. Usually it makes us feel pretty good and connected and being cared about. Research has also shown that if we touch ourselves in that way, in a caring way, oxytocin gets released also in that situation. So by touching ourselves, by kind of like conveying self-compassion and caring by means of touch, can really strengthen our experience. And I would like to ask you to experiment with this a little bit and close your eyes for a moment if they weren't closed already. And experiment maybe putting a hand on your heart. Like feeling that you're offering yourself some caring with the help of that hand on your heart. Feeling what does it do to the heart and the body and the mind. You could try placing another hand on your stomach. Just sensing what you're feeling in your body and your mind. You could try hugging yourself a bit. You could try stroking your hand gently. Just stroking your arm gently. You could try putting one hand on your cheek as a gesture of caring. And if you feel that one of these options works for you in a way that it helps you to feel more compassionate or caring towards yourself, you're really encouraged to use that in your practice in the future. Okay, so we've now gone through all the three components of self-compassion, and what's one really great thing about self-compassion is that we might be experiencing something challenging, something hard, something painful. We might be experiencing suffering, and instead of it becoming an obstacle for our practice, something to be gotten rid of, something to be avoided, with the help of self-compassion, it can actually become a really important and essential part of our practice. And if you experiment with this, you might come to feel that even if you're feeling something really unpleasant, if you're able to let it be there and meet it with compassion and caring, it might be this feeling that you're doing exactly the right thing and this is how life is supposed to be. Like, that it's all right as it is. It's beautiful as it is. So I would like to invite you to find a comfortable posture for yourself for the self-compassion practice. Letting your eyes close. Maybe moving a little bit if you need to make yourself feel more comfortable. Taking a few deeper breaths. And with each long exhalation, letting any unnecessary tensions in the body and the mind to melt away. Checking if there are any unnecessary tension in the face, in the area of the face, around the eyes, around the mouth. Letting the face soften. Letting the area of the shoulders soften as well. So giving the area of the stomach and the hips a permission to relax. And noticing if you're feeling any dukkha right now. It can be really mild, hardly noticeable, or it could be fairly strong, or anything in between. It could be bodily discomfort, it could be a difficult mental state, restlessness, sleepiness, irritation, anxiety, loneliness. Feeling a bit down or blue. And if it's the case that you're not feeling anything like that right now, no worries. You can bring to mind something that has happened recently. Some situation where you were feeling dukkha, some degree of dukkha. Bring that situation to mind and try to remember how you were feeling in your body and in your mind in that situation. And now instead of trying to get away, trying to get rid of this dukkha, instead turning towards it, giving it the permission to be here, giving it the full permission to be there, softening around it. Letting yourself feel it fully. And of course, if it feels way too strong, like if it feels that a fruitful practice is not possible with that, it's absolutely okay to go back to working with your breath or remember how much calm space there is there around you. Remembering to ground yourself. But if the amount of dukkha is not too big, letting it be there, allowing it to be there, reminding yourself that this is a moment of suffering. It's feeling painful right now. I'm suffering. It's hard to be feeling this. you might want to remind yourself that the dukkha that you're experiencing is not a mistake, it's not your fault. All of us experience dukkha sometimes. Can be quite a relief to remember that it's really not your fault. It happens to everyone. It's part of a human life. And so many other people might be feeling this way right now. There's 7.7 billion people on this planet. So many other people might be feeling pain or hot or anxious right now. We are all in this together. Letting the dukkha be there. And it probably doesn't stay the same, it might be changing. The location might be changing, it might be transforming to something else. Letting all this happen, giving it all space it needs. Then moving into the third component of self-compassion, self-kindness. Instead of judging ourselves or blaming ourselves, we summon kindness to ourselves, compassion for ourselves. And if you're feeling discomfort in some particular area in your body, you might experiment putting your hands or hand on that area of the body. And if, when we previously were experimenting with different locations for the hand, if you found one of them helpful for yourself, you could try that heart or the stomach or the cheek or anything else, letting your intuition to guide you how to do this. Where is the caring needed the most? Where is the attention needed the most? Where is kindness needed the most? If you like, you could try using some phrases to help you convey caring and compassion towards yourself. Again, listening to your inner wisdom, your intuition, and what phrase would be the most helpful. You might experiment with phrases like, I'm here for you. I care about you. Or, may I be able to hold my suffering with compassion and kindness. May I remember that I'm worthy of love and acceptance. May I be kind to myself in this moment. May I be able to hold this suffering with an open heart. with an open, warm, caring heart. For the remainder of this practice period, feel free to continue with self-compassion if that feels skillful, wise thing to do in this moment. You could practice with those components, the components you felt most resonant, that resonated most strongly with you. Or if you feel that it would be more appropriate at this time, you could go back to your anchor object, for instance, your breath. Bring your attention to the breath again and again.